Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. Before Greg and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Coach, let's take a look back at last week's game, 71-43 win against School of the Osage again. You know, a lot of offense. The one thing that jumped out at me, though, was that the defense really got – I thought the defense got better as the game went along. We saw you all get some big stops late in the game that allowed you to stretch it out to a four-touchdown win.
Well, I felt so, too. And, your remorse in saying that, because people are going to come back and say, well, you're not coaching defense. Well, yeah, we're coaching the heck out of defense, and our players are responding. And I think each week we're getting that step better. There were three plays last week that really harmed us, and two were – a gap too wide on a really good player, and one was we got our eyes in the backfield on a double move on a pass. Outside of that, they really moved the ball on us, yes, but that offense like that is going to do that. You know, that offense hasn't been really slowed down by anybody as far as moving the ball. The scoring side of it, they scored more than, you know, we would like, but at the same standpoint, I really felt like in the second half we stepped up, we rose up, we started playing some better football defensively. I think our guys are they want to. There's no doubt there's the want to there. It's just we have to take that next step and get off blocks. We're staying on blocks too long.
What do you like about the consistency of the offense? Obviously, it's hard to say anything bad about back-to-back 71-point efforts. I thought the difference in this game was, if you take a look, the total number or the total yards weren't as big, and I think a lot of that had to deal with getting some turnovers, getting some short fields, and obviously the kickoff return for a touchdown helps.
Well, we're not worried for yards. You worry about points. You know, and that's what I talked about 6-7 weeks ago. This is going to be unconventional, and I need people to be on board with our players and everybody that we're going to play, you know, some defense, but we're going to have to score some points. And if we score some points, the objective of this game is to win with a W. So we're not worried about the total yards. What I was really impressed with was our yards per carry. We were averaging, you know, hovering around the 9 yards a carry. Well, when we're playing a running team that is trying to keep the ball away from us, we did in the end of the second quarter. Okay, well, we're going to keep away too, and we knew we could score. It was just I kept telling Coach Briggs, hey, we got time. Let's work this clock. Let's run it down. We took a nice methodical drive, about 3:40 left on the clock, you know, approximate. Drove it down, scored about 21 seconds to go. That's the way we like to end the half, because you really take a lot of momentum away from a team if you can go down and score right before half, especially on a running situation. I don't know if we threw the ball in that whole series. It may be once or twice, but we didn't throw the ball a bunch the other night. And that wasn't by design, but when we found out what they were giving us, we just continued to run the football and try to be successful and not give any momentum back to them.
All right, now we're moving on to district play. Let's talk about this week's – oh, wait, it's Osage again. Now, I believe this happened back in 2018. I think
yes,
you all played California back-to-back weeks. So what do you take from that experience on what you do that second week preparing for the same team?
Who's going to improve more? And that's been my message since Saturday. This isn't about we won, they won, they lost. You know, that is irrelevant. Have we gotten better this week, or have they? Let's challenge ourselves to be the better football team getting prepared this week than we were the week before. And again, can we get better than what we were? And I think that's been a challenge that our players have really resonated in, and I hope that it translates out to Friday night. But you know they're going to bring their best game. Hey, how can we raise our game? How are you going to challenge yourself to be better than you were last week? It's good because you go back and watch film. You see the mistakes you've made. You can correct them. You've seen the things we do well and how to go. Now it just comes down, all right, what are they going to tweak? What are you going to tweak? You get a little nervous about that because there's some things that you see that you're like, oh, my gosh. And there's some things that you know they're seeing going, oh, yeah. So you have to really try to be yourself, but also adapt that you know there's going to be some changes made.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And before we get started here with Greg, I'd like to take a few minutes to just thank some of our Goal Line sponsors at the completion of the regular season. I would like to especially thank Cole County Industries, Beeline Convenience Stores, Jeff Helsher, Eastern District Commissioner, and Kemna Collision Repair. So, Greg, this has become kind of commonplace to see the Falcons score 71 points, which they did again last week for the third time this season. 71-43 at Osage. The reward for doing such is you get to play Osage again this week, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let's look back before we look forward, and really, again, you know, it's become commonplace to see big numbers from the Blair Oaks offense, and we saw it again this week.
It was one of those games going in they knew with the potential of how quickly Osage could score. They knew they had to score every time they touched the ball.
Sure.
They did have an interception thrown, and I believe they punted late in the game. But other than that, yeah, if they got the ball, they scored. I thought the big difference for them early on was I think Osage's first play in each half was a fumble, and it was deep in their own territory. It gave Blair Oaks some short fields to tack on some early points. Big game because, you know, Blair Oaks won the turnover battle, I believe, 3-1. And to me, the number that jumped out to me, for example, I think in Week 8 against Southern Boone, they came close to getting 700 total yards, which when you score 71 points, that sounds about right. Against Osage, they only had 445.
Yeah.
You take a look. Now, one of the touchdowns was a kickoff return for a score, but if you take a look, I mean, that means the other nine drives, you average like less than 50 yards per possession. So to me, it really emphasizes how well they did on special teams, because they did have some kickoff. I don't believe they started, and it's in my goal line story today, they never started inside their own 35-yard line until really late in the game, and it was a turnover on downs. So had great starting field, and they took advantage of it, it seemed like, every single time.
I guess the fact that we're now through the regular season and we've had nine games to kind of determine what kind of a team we're, this kind of, I think, fit in with the blueprint from the standpoint of this is this year's Blair Oaks team, from the standpoint of, yes, you're going to score a lot of points. It's also appearing that you're probably going to give up a fair amount of points. Mm-hmm. Now, like you said, it may just boil down to the success for the Blair Oaks as they enter the postseason may just determine on the defense just being opportunistic enough at moments to make stops, because it's not like they're going to come up and get stops routinely or regularly, or unless they flip a switch once we get to the postseason, and maybe they can, who knows. But it almost seems like, yes, it's going to have to be that sort of thing where you go, yeah, if you can just get a takeaway here, a takeaway there, then all of a sudden maybe that becomes the key to winning a game, because we've seen this a lot where, you know, we've seen plenty of points, you know, both scored and allowed by the Falcons this season.
And one thing Coach LePage and I talked about this week, and he really emphasized this, and it didn't, once he said that, I was like, you know, I've noticed that too, and it just never registered with me. And we talked about this in a previous podcast, how teams who, you know, like a radio broadcaster who hadn't seen Blair Oaks yet this year was impressed at how quickly their defense got to the ball. And he's like, I think, honestly, a lot of our problem is we over-pursue. And again, that they're just so fast, and sometimes you just got to stay in your lane. You've got to know what's coming. You take a look, and they gave up two long touchdown runs of like 57 and 66 yards to Osage quarterback Brockton McLaughlin. And those are going to happen because he's a big play guy. And we talked about that last week. I think the key is, I believe they only gave up about 107 or 108 rushing yards in the second half. So to me, I know 43 points sounds like a lot, but they did so much better in the second half of really shutting down the run. I know McLaughlin didn't run a whole lot in the second half, but, you know, they still got three other running backs, and they did a pretty good job of shutting them down. So I think that's got to be something you can build off of. Yeah. And if they can figure out the correcting, you know, the over-pursuit, or, you know, making the tackle when you have the first contact, I think that's going to go a long way for this defense.
Yeah. Before we start to deal with the postseason implications and what we have going on, you know, in front of us going forward, it does, you know, bear repeating that, you know, this was the end of the regular season. Blair closes at 7-2. It was, you know, not the way they probably wanted things to play out in terms of conference aspirations, but it is one of those things where you probably could not have scripted it better in terms of just the kind of the continuation of just a whale of a career for Dylan Hare, who, it bears repeating, is only a junior at this point, but he's already, you know, we saw some pretty notable accomplishments of him, you know, that he attained just in the course of the season, plus, you know, just in the last week as he continues to climb charts at Blair Oaks.
You know, in the game he had, you know, six rushing touchdowns. That's the second time he's done that this year, and that ties, you know, a school single game record. Had a feeling it was going to happen, and sure enough it did with those six touchdowns. He now holds the school single-season rushing touchdown record. I mean, 29 touchdowns through nine games. That's impressive.
Yeah.
He's had a big game, and now he's inching closer to a record that, first off, you don't think a quarterback would break, and you don't think a quarterback in his junior year would break, but the career rushing yard record is right there. He needs... If he rushes for 50 yards tonight against Osage, I mean, he's the all-time career rushing yards record holder at Blair Oaks. And again,
yeah.
There's 10 to 15 more games in his career,
right.
And he is just going to escalate that record.
It's pretty amazing when you consider just the wealth of talent they've had come through there in the past, you know, 2 to 3 decades, and just the amount of people that he's passed, and some pretty phenomenal players. And like you say, again, with Bears repeating, it's just the year three of this. We, you know, good Lord willing, no injury. Happen and nothing weird happens his senior year, but yeah, that's at that point is just gravy. It's just going to be padding stats that, you know, it's going to take a whale of an effort for somebody to come along and even think about touching those, because he's going to put it in the stratosphere by the time he's done with it.
So if you take a look at these records that the Hare brothers have, first off, let's start with what Dylan did this past Friday. You know, the six rushing touchdowns and a game that ties a single season or a single game record that he, you know, tied also earlier in the year, is the second time doing it. You know, he broke the school single-season rushing touchdown record with his six touchdowns. That gives him 29. I believe the record belonged to Derek Otto. You know, now he's less than 50 yards away from the career rushing yards record at Blair Oaks, which was set by Matt Versois back in the early 2000s. So, you know, those are just some of the ones within reach, and there's still a handful that are right there that he'll either get later in the playoffs or he could break early next season. If you look, the Hare brothers just have set so many records. I mean, Jordan Hare got all of them right off the bat in his 3 years, and Nolan Hare comes through for 3 years, and, you know, everybody's going to remember a senior year where he had the 48 touchdowns and just the passing and no interceptions.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And Dylan's just going to get a lot of records because not only is he a dual-threat quarterback, but he's getting that extra year to play at quarterback. And again, all but one. I think by the time it's all said and done, the Hare brothers will have their hands on a quarterback-related record, all but one. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's look forward to districts. You know, this is the time of year that everybody's excited about. This is the time where it's kind of winter go home. So this has become, a very, very kind of high stakes part of the season. What's interesting about the fact is the stakes are high, but the stakes are very familiar from the standpoint of it's a very kind of very interconnected district from the standpoint of a lot of these teams have seen each other to the point where it caused some flipping in the district standings from the standpoint of Class 3 District 5. It bears out that Blair Oaks ends up as the 3 seed against the 6 seed Osage, but how did we get to that point there, Greg?
So when the games were all said and done Friday night, here was the order from 1 through 7. You had Mexico 1, Blair Oaks 2, Boonville 3, Eldon 4, Osage 5, Southern Boone 6, and Fulton 7. It doesn't stop there, because what Misha has done, there's like an addendum where, hey, if you meet head-to-head and lower-seeded team won, will they get the flip-flop? Okay, so for example, Boonville beat Blair Oaks in regular season, so Boonville goes from the 3 to the 2 ahead of Blair Oaks. That's not the only time that happened in this district.
Right.
Because now, while Southern Boone's the 6, they beat both number 4 Eldon and number 5 Osage, but you are only allowed to move up one spot. You can't keep moving up. So Southern Boone was only able to move up to the 5 ahead of Osage. That's why we're getting the rematch between Blair Oaks and Osage.
Okay.
And even though Eldon lost to Southern Boone in the regular season, Eldon will host them in the third first round.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's kind of funny from the standpoint of, you know, we kind of knew at the beginning of the season that a lot of these teams were going to face each other. We didn't just know kind of how, you know, interconnected it would all be and how much flipping and flopping, and it does kind of create some interesting scenarios. So the basically long and short of it is we get a rematch. So, do you feel like there might be anything that we didn't see last week that we see this week, or did you get a feel, you know, do you think did anybody hold maybe anything in reserve, or do you think this one's just kind of a matter of who executes better, because it might end up being the same sort of script as what we saw last week?
That was definitely something I asked Coach LePage. How much of this week do you expect the unexpected? He's like, honestly, what we do is we go back and we look at past films of Osage, and it's like, okay, we didn't see this, so maybe we'll see this in week 10, so let's start preparing for that.
Sure.
Osage didn't really throw the ball that much. Brockton McLaughlin does have the ability to throw it, so you never know from that aspect. He didn't really run the ball a whole lot in the second half either, so I don't know, maybe if like they're kind of saving some in the tank for the next week with him and maybe seeing what the other running backs could do. So, I mean, in a winner-take-all, you're going to give the ball to your best player, and I imagine he's going to get the ball. He's going to run quite a bit more. But on the Blair Oaks side, if you take a look at it, that was a career-low passing night for Dylan Hare, just 76 yards. And the reason for that being the running game was averaging 8.2 yards per carry.
Sure,
so why would you go away from that?
Yeah, exactly.
So this might be a game where Blair Oaks, okay, I'll be curious to see if they come out and keep running and dare Osage to stop that and say, fine, if you do finally slow it down, we can just pass. Or if Blair Oaks comes out and says, we're going to treat this like the Southern Boone game. We're going to throw 30 to 35 passes and dare you to stop that.
Right.
Anything is it's week 10. Anything is possible.
It can't be understated that we are now in the postseason and it's going to be every little minute thing can become a big thing at this point. So I think none of that is more important than overall team health at this point. So how did the Falcons get through the regular season? How do you feel like they are entering the postseason just in terms of, having everybody available to them and having, basically being as healthy as they can be at this point?
They're about as close to 100% as they've been since maybe the first two non-conference games. Caden Helscher, offensive lineman, he's not going to get the start, but he is going to play some. He suffered a broken hand a couple weeks ago. He's one of the two or three guys that have been, clubbing it up on the line with a broken hand. And their hope is to have him back to full strength if they win and keep moving on. But, he's going to continue to play. And this just goes to show the depth at offensive line. I know that's where most of their senior class plays, but this just goes to show that they've got 8 to 9 guys that can play in the O-line if they want to.
All right, I guess we've talked for long enough to the fact that we could dissect this one ad infinitum, but let's get to the point where we figure out who wins this one on Friday night.
I mean, Blair Oaks is going to win. I just my question is how close to last week's score are we going to see? Because, again, as we were talking, when the two teams, when Blair Oaks and Versailles played back-to-back weeks, both of those scores were 70-0, I believe. When Blair Oaks and California played back-to-back in 2018, I believe week 9 was 65-7, the next week was 70-0, so pretty darn close.
Right.
I do think it's going to be somewhat close, but I will say this time, I think it's going to be Blair Oaks, I'll say 64, and Osage 35.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.